Hello and welcome to Big City Catholics. Let's begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Asking our Blessed Mother's intercession upon us, we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Bishop, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. It seems that we're back to just you and I today.
We've had
guests over the last couple of weeks who've been terrific, but it's nice for us to have a simple conversation as well.
Amen. Yeah, it's... We've been really touching on some very difficult topics. We had a wonderful lady from The Bridge to Life talking about walking with moms in need, Father Joseph Zwasta talking about the Supreme Court decisions, and
Father
Carlos.
Father Carlos about the Eucharistic revival.
Yeah, so.
And then we'll be talking about the Synod, too, as that is all being gathered, all of the work on that. So
that's right.
Yeah, these are... very busy times.
Yeah.
So it's nice to take a little bit of a break and maybe do a little bit of a lighter segment today.
Absolutely. I agree. For our sake and for our listeners' sake, you know. This has been an exciting week for you. I know yesterday we were together you were celebrating this feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. By the way, Monsignor Gigantiello was very grateful for the shout out in our last podcast of the Feast of Mount Carmel, but we got a little more because this was an exciting opportunity.
That's right.
For you.
You and I were there last week for the opening ceremonies and for the procession with Our Lady through the streets of Williamsburg, which was phenomenal. But part of the great tradition of the Williamsburg Feast is the carrying of the Giglio, and they do that on the two Sundays and on the Wednesday night in between. So you and I both, again, separately,
that's right.
But we both found ourselves there for this great cultural moment in the life of Williamsburg, Brooklyn.
Cultural moment, that's the best way to describe it, because you think of St. Patrick's Day and you think of Our Lady of Guadalupe and the different feasts of each culture. What an interesting lift yesterday, the night lift. I mean, you have all of these guys standing under this, God knows how much that Giglio weighs.
It's humongous. It's so tall. It's heavy. It's heavy wood. And don't forget, it's the edifice itself, that large Giglio, but which goes high into the sky and all the statues. But the band is on it. And then Monsignor Jamie and I ended up being on it. And so you have all that extra weight. I can't begin to imagine. And how many men it took to carry it through. And of course, they're at it a long time. They're at it for hours in teams, in and out. But they only go short distances at a time.
That's right, yeah. The crowds on the street, when they started the lift around 7:30 or so, the crowds were gathered. It was in its parked position, you know, off to the side on the street there. And crowds gathered, and just incredible to see the first lift, and they sort of dance it, and they jump it up and down.
That's right.
And as it's jumping up and down, you see the statue of St. Paulinus on top, like shaking, wiggling.
Really?
Oh, boy. Yeah, it's wild.
See, from my vantage point, I couldn't see the statue.
You were lucky.
Probably wisely
you were
so,
lucky.
Right?
Yeah,
better not to know. Ignorance is bliss.
Waiting for it to tip. But I noticed... it's tied in very well, so there's no cause for concern. It danced somewhat down the street, and then you arrived. First of all, this is the key of Big City Catholics. I mean, you arrived, the diocesan bishop of the Diocese of Brooklyn, not in a car, not in an Uber. How did you get there yesterday?
I got on my bike and I took it down there. So I didn't have to worry about parking or getting through the traffic.
Incredible.
The biggest struggle was when I arrived, I had to walk it through, and I started down,
Havemeyer
Street. And I got so far and I realized, even walking through, I'm not getting through this crowd, because at that point, the Giglio was right there at Havemeyer and 8th.
Yeah.
So I went around back and came in the other way, and actually they were waiting for me. So yeah, that's Brooklyn for you. I picked up the bike because it's so hard to drive around here.
Yeah.
And I decided, can't beat them, join them.
Yeah, that was, and it definitely you get your exercise. You don't have to worry about traffic. You're driving down these bike lanes. It took you, 10, 15 minutes?
That's right.
That's
right.
Yeah, it took me 30 minutes in the car, you know. So, and then you're looking for parking.
Then you have to find
it's wild. But really, so you arrived.
But that's all part of it. Yeah. So you feel like you're part of the whole thing that way, right? You come in and people are out on the street, so you just like blend right into the crowd. It's thrilling. Monsignor Casado was there to bring me in, and they put my bike away for me. And it has so many people. Now, during the week, I had been driving back and forth from places, or riding, I should say, back and forth from places. And I would get to look down as I'm on the BQE and say, look at all those people, Saturday night, Sunday night. So many, many people are coming out to this, which is great. After the last couple of years, it's so good to see people. And you can tell people want to be out and they want to be together.
Very much so.
And they were having a great time. It seemed to me, at least, it's a good, clean, fun.
Absolutely.
And you know, and the full mix, you had families there, parents with their children, and you had the kiddie ride.
That have it all.
You had the local people who were probably, some of them just taking it in for the first time, but young professional people just going about. You had the Italian generations. You could tell that there were people who were there, who you could tell their parents, their grandparents. In fact, some of the capos did shout outs in memory of their grandparents.
That's right.
As the lifts were being made. So, you just can't help but get caught up in it. The lights in the streets.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
I remember growing up here in New York, out on Long Island, being a neighbor to Brooklyn, and you'd see the video clip on the nightly news, and I always wondered about it. And honestly, I didn't know what the Giglio really meant and what it was all about. And I'm trying to relate it to Mount Carmel, and it really has nothing to do with Our Lady of Mount Carmel. So the feast is in honor of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. The parish is Our Lady of Mount Carmel, and they have the novena. So there's a definite faith element to it. But the Giglio is really in honor of St. Paulinus,
right.
Paulinus of Nola. And the early immigrants to that part of Brooklyn were from the village of Nola, and they brought with them their devotion and their tradition, their devotion to St. Paulinus. So this Giglio comes out of that devotion. And so for 135 years, the people of Nola and their descendants have been evangelizing Brooklyn, evangelizing Williamsburg with this message of their appreciation and their entrustment to St. Paulinus and the way that he, as a bishop, would lead them to Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You know, in fun ways. That's, to me, the adventure of evangelization. Sometimes we think about evangelization, we think about programs, we think about boring things that we have to do. And really, having fun, good, clean fun, keep saying that, having a little bit of fun and showing our devotion is probably one of the best tools for evangelization.
The word you use often is authentic. And, you know, when you see the people who come out there to celebrate and are just authentically joyful, joy-filled, there's nothing better than that. It's contagious.
It is. And, you know, they have the statue of Our Lady of Mount Carmel over outside by the church. You see people going over to kneel before it in prayer. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not putting on rose-colored glasses here and saying, oh, everybody's, the thousands of people who are there for devotion. But the fact is, there's a group of parishioners who themselves are extremely faithful. And what they're doing is they're shining that light for everybody else to see.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think people are waking up this morning saying, oh, wow, I need to go back to Christ. I need to go back to church. But what we're doing is we're planting seeds and we're showing the source of our joy, the reason for our hope, what makes us who we are as beloved daughters and sons of God. Mm-hmm. We're showing that joy and connecting it to our devotion to Jesus Christ, and that sense of protection, looking over to say, hey, you know, the people of Nola sought protection through the intercession of St. Paulinus. That's basically an acknowledgement that none of us makes it on our own. We need to rely on each other. We need to rely on the intercession of the saints. That's what we're showing to the world.
Yeah, yeah. And evangelization with a Zeppoli is always more enjoyable than evangelization without. Although I don't think your diet, you can eat the Zeppolis.
No, I've been off Zeppolis. Oh, man. I grew up on Zeppolis from Feast. Not quite of the experience of Our Lady of Mount Carmel Feast, but whenever there would be local feast, my family, we would always go down, even if we were just going to the Zeppoli booth. And bring the Zeppelis home, and you know, you get the white sugar all over you, and the greasy Zeppeli. Oh, does that ever taste good? Yeah. We loved it. Can I tell you a funny story?
Please.
In Columbus, and you know that I love people of Columbus, and I love being in Columbus. But in Columbus, they have an Italian feast. It's on the weekend of Columbus Day, okay? The parish of St. John the Baptist, and it's a big Italian feast too, with all the booths. It takes up numbers of streets, and they don't have the procession, but they have an outdoor mass. So it's great. I said, where are the Zeppelis? And nobody knows anything about Zeppelis. Hardly anybody knows what a Zeppeli is.
Sad world over there.
Oh, isn't it? How deprived they are. So if you're in the Zeppeli business and you have a food truck and you want to make a business venture, I advise you to make your way to Columbus on on a Columbus Day weekend.
That makes sense. There's a booth there. D-E-E best Zeppelis. It was great to see.
Now, speaking of the food, the other treat... standing on the Giglio was, boy, did I smell the sausage cooking. Ooh, boy, that was good.
It must have been. I mean, it was a long time. So you were up there for quite some time, and I had a bird's eye view. I enjoyed both views. I was down on the street for a while, and then I was invited up to the roof top to see, look down, and I got some really beautiful photos of the whole Giglio. But I noticed, you know, when they start dancing, there's a bar there for you to hold. That when they start dancing it, you know, jumping it up and down, were you nervous?
Believe it or not, it's actually very secure. I mean, you feel yourself moving around.
Yeah.
But the thing is large enough. There's no fear. I had no fear of falling off.
If anything, I could
picture myself being clumsy enough to trip over something and land right on the platform itself or into somebody. But no, it's actually pretty secure. You feel pretty secure.
I only mention it because, you know, that is a cherished position. I mean, there are only the people, like you said, who are invited up onto that lift are the members of the band or the pastor of the parish, you know, whomever that may be at the time.
The
pastor of the diocese. So, you know, not very many of us will ever have the opportunity to be on it. And I think even Monsignor, you know, was very grateful that you were there. And he did mention, you know, thanks to the bishop of the diocese and bishop for being here.
You know what was really nice being up at that vantage point? This is a nice feeling at this point in my time here. I'm in Brooklyn now a little more than 7 months, in the eighth month. And you know, lots of new faces by and large, but good number of familiar faces. And it was really nice to look out and to see people mm-hmm. whom I would recognize from some of the different parishes or some of our diocesan events or from the parish itself. Actually, to bump into a few people from my Long Island days who have roots here in Brooklyn.
Yeah,
and they say, "Oh no, I come back every year. We grew up here, or my parents always came here, and we come back every year."
See, it's beautiful. Yeah, that's a nice. I can imagine it would be a feeling of warmth, a feeling of okay, you know, I'm not alone. I'm not alone.
Home.
And
I'm not alone. I'm at home, and I'm not alone.
Yeah.
And that's a great experience.
You've had a whirlwind of 8 months. I mean, we've yet to talk about the synod, which was the first, you know, thing that you began and that you went to visit all of these different parishes and deaneries. And, you know, so you have been able to see a lot of faces and meet a lot of people and see the layout of the diocese. And it must be just a nice, albeit scary in the sense of awesome in a way, but also just to see all of the people, the laborers in the vineyard working all together. What's that like as bishop?
It's great. And I always knew something of Brooklyn culture. I knew Queens better than I know Brooklyn because I grew up going to St. John's University, spent a lot of time in Nassau County, and so I know Queens fairly well. Brooklyn is somewhat new. I know all the neighborhoods. I know the names of the neighborhoods, and I know the different family connections. So it's been fun getting to see the different neighborhoods. I had Mass the week before last at Our Lady of Solace in Coney Island. I thought, what a better place to be on July 4th weekend, right? Yeah, Coney Island.
That's great, yeah.
Coney Island. Yeah. Well, I had my first foray, not here, but nearby, into the salt waters. I used to tell everybody in Columbus that I missed the salt water. And so I had my first foray into the water. And I'm hoping to get over to Rockaway in the next couple of days.
Sure.
And not so much. I'll be there for Mass, but I'm looking forward to getting into the beach. And
that's right.
Just people here in Brooklyn and Queens, we have so much before us. And to me, it's sharing some of those simple adventures with each other. Yeah. Though that, again, deepening the bonds of our friendship, deepening the bonds of who we are as a people, experiencing life, and giving thanks to God for that, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the beauty of what's before us, if we approach it the right way, is spectacular. The beauty of human creation. I've had some guests come in, and I bring them down over to the pier near Brooklyn Bridge, and
it's gorgeous.
People are just fascinated. We've had some beautiful weather, so they're just fascinated by what they see.
Yeah.
The natural beauty, the beauty of the crafts, the things that people built over the generations. It's all right here before us, and if we can enjoy each other and enjoy those great things with gratitude to God, that's what it's all about, especially these summer months.
That's for sure. And it doesn't, you know, people think of New York City, again, or big cities being very expensive. And certainly there are neighborhoods, and this is another conversation for another day, there are neighborhoods where we lack affordable housing for our families that really struggle.
Well put, Father Chris, well put. You know, that was one of the things about the Synod. So, you know, during the time of the Synod, I had the chance to go to the deaneries. I'm very grateful to Bishop DiMarzio for his idea of doing these on the deanery basis, and then the timing that it worked out that it gave me a chance to meet everybody. Mm. There were the church issues that were discussed when we came together. But you know what? We spent a lot of time in the deaneries talking about the real issues that people are carrying. Mm. So housing was a main issue, and some of it's with the gentrification. The poor are being pushed out. Some people are finding it just too expensive to live, or, you know, children can't afford to live in the place where their parents lived. Or families, like maybe around in this neighborhood in Brooklyn Heights, Cobble Hill, downtown Brooklyn, where people will come, begin their lives as a married couple, have their first children, but then they're gone by the time school age comes along.
That's right.
So these are some of the realities that people are living, and you know, as life is getting expensive right now with inflation. Here in the city, that's particularly acute.
That's true.
You know, so you're exactly right. So there's that balance, and I think there's a healthy approach to being aware and saying we have to work on these kinds of issues and help one another with these issues. But then there are the beautiful moments in life, and we have to be able to enjoy and share those as well.
You know, I've become a member of the Brooklyn Botanical Gardens. And you know, it sounds fancy when you say you've become a member of some kind of thing. It's like $50 for a year, and you have unlimited visits to this botanical gardens, which is less than a mile from where you know the co-cathedral is. And just for my own sanity, and also just to experience, as you were mentioning, the beauty and that which is at our fingertips, even if I weren't to enter into the botanical gardens, but just to walk through Prospect Park. Have you ride through Prospect Park?
Oh, I've discovered Prospect Park. I love Prospect Park because you have that loop and it's all one way.
Yep.
And it goes all the way around. So it's a very safe place to take a bike. But again, it's wonderful to see all these people enjoying picnics and just being out there.
Do you ever go out on a Saturday morning? You have to try it on a Saturday morning. I mean, first of all, there's a farmer's market there at Grand Army Plaza, but then there's about, I'd say, 300 dogs running around on the great lawn there. And it's unbelievable to see how many people around this neighborhood have dogs.
Oh, same up by, I live over by St. Joseph's College, and I think it's Fort Greene Park over there. Yeah. And if you go out early in the morning, it's everybody and their dogs.
It's wild. It's wild. It's a community. I mean, that could be an evangelizational effort, you know, the priest with a dog and just standing there with to answer the questions of the faithful. I mean, there's so many opportunities, but there's such a beauty to the diocese of Brooklyn and Queens. You've got the water in Coney Island, you have the Breezy Point and Rockaways. You love water, certainly.
I love the water. And then we have the views from Astoria and Long Island City and Bayside. So we just have great natural beauty around us. You know, we were talking before about some of the cultural events, and it seems one of the great things about Brooklyn and Queens is that people come from all over the world. And when they come from all over the world, they bring with them many of these cultural celebrations. And let's face it, most of these cultural celebrations are rooted in faith. And so one of the first things I experienced in December when I arrived was right here at the Co-Cathedral and the celebration of Our Lady of Guadalupe.
That's right.
And the gathering of so many people, thousands of people.
Literally.
Again, December 12th, couldn't go in the cathedral. Many of them participated in Holy Mass out on Pacific Street.
That's right.
And then they will walk carrying, each parish takes a torch.
That's right.
And they bear the torch, that sense of pilgrimage. They're on a pilgrimage. They bring it back to their parishes. There are so many layers of powerful signs in that.
Yeah. And I think so much so. There's such a high demand. Is it true that this upcoming Guadalupe, Feast of Guadalupe, I think we're going to do two masses?
That's the plan right now. I'm not sure we talked about different things. So both of them right here, is that
the idea? I believe so.
I think that's what they were talking about. Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense. There are so many that come. You know, this is an aside, but your homily was just so funny that day. I it's on YouTube. It's on, you know, it's on the NetTV channel on YouTube, and I've shared it with people because it was so funny. And and to see, you know, so telling a joke in English is hard enough, you know, like to tell a funny story in a homily, but now you're telling the story of the donkey in Spanish. Can you just because it's such a message, if you don't mind. It's such a great message.
Sure. Yeah, that's right. And actually, it is more fun in Spanish because of some of the vocabulary.
Yes.
But it was this, a true tale, okay, of a priest who told, he was telling a tale, but during the Eucharistic Congress in Rockville Center, the bishop gathered us in deaneries to talk about experience of the Eucharist, and he spoke about processions, like we just, you know, another cultural moment. So many of our parishes had the Corpus Christi processions.
Yeah.
And he said this one village, they each year try to outdo the year before, and so they strapped the monstrance onto the back of a donkey. Now, of course, in Spanish, you're talking about un burrito, and so you espalda del burrito, con cabeza arriba, so you know, the donkey's making its way through the street, and everybody's throwing the flowers and singing their praises. It's a whole procession and everything like that. Donkey loved it so much, he's holding his head up high, cabeza arriba, and he's looking, strutting back and forth. He loved
now,
it so
I'm
much.
Sorry now. I'm sorry because I have to pause because what you cannot see on the podcast is the movements.
Yes, that's right.
The shoulders
and all of that. That's right. No, so it's more fun when you're preaching.
He
right.
loved it so much. Continue.
He loved it so much, he decided to do it the next day. He goes out the next day. But this time, he makes his way out of the yard. He manages to escape. He goes down the same village square, down the same streets, and there he is again. And I'm shaking the shoulders here, strutting along and looking back and forth. And this time, people are out, but they're sweeping the streets and men playing cards and kids are playing. Everybody's going about doing their business. Nobody looked. And the point of the story that the priest said, now, like I said, realize later, he told it as if it were a true story, but he was telling a tale, a little bit of a parable. He looked up and he said, Fathers, he spoke to the priest, Fathers, if we're not carrying Jesus, we're nothing but a bunch of donkeys. And it's so true, but you know,
it gets us back. Sin Jesús somos burritos.
So, sin Jesús somos burritos. And it's true. There's human nature. We get caught up in our projects. We get caught up in what we're doing. Important things, important works. But you know what? If it's not about bringing Jesus to one another, we're just spinning wheels, and it's pointless. And that brings us back to all of these cultural events. You know, sadly, some of them do devolve into, you know, just sensual enjoyment, you know, drinking and all that kind of stuff. It's just, you know, there is that side of it. There's that dark side of these things. But the fact of the matter is there's something deeper. And our job as Catholic Christians is to go into the wilderness, but bringing that light. The reminder to us as Catholic Christians, though, is that we're doing it for a reason.
Yeah.
And it's not just about the project. It's to carry Jesus. And if we're carrying Jesus, that's everything. If we're not carrying Jesus, somos burritos.
I think it was it's just a perfect message. It was a perfect homily, and it was so lighthearted, and it really it hit so well. And I think in light of this weekend's readings. You hear the story of Martha and Mary. And Martha is busy about doing all the things in the house and busy about the little things here and there, the cleaning of the... And Mary, as Jesus says, chose the better part. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus to hear and to listen and to learn.
And the thing is, this one gets at people, you know, Martha's doing what she should do, and I agree. I love Jesus' words. Martha, Martha, you're worried, you're anxious and upset about many things. Only one thing is necessary. And I don't think of that as a rebuke. I think of it as an invitation. You know, Jesus knows all of our anxieties, all of our worries, but he invites us to be at his feet. He invites us to turn toward him. And yeah, otherwise, we're just going to be anxious and concerned about many things. So you're right. That ties into to Sunday's readings, into what we've been talking about today.
Keep Jesus really at the center. And we pray, you know, of all the hundreds, thousands of people, not hundreds of thousands, but hundreds / thousands of people that have attended or will attend or will walk through the Feast of Mount Carmel. Those who have attended or will attend or will view, they call them the runners, the corredores of Our Lady of Guadalupe, running to their parishes with the torches. The hundreds and thousands of people that watch us march down St. Patrick's Day Parade.
Again, that's one of those that's really turned in so many directions, but at the heart of it is St. Patrick, the great evangelizer.
Yes, yeah, and so we pray that Jesus really is kept at the center. Without Jesus, we are somos burritos. And,
so let's enjoy these days of summer.
Amen. Yeah.
Let's ask the Lord to keep people safe. Let's pray that that as we take up these summer activities, we might do so with a sense of care and safety for others. And you know, as the people of Williamsburg 135 years ago sought to ask the intercession of St. Paulinus to watch over and protect them, we ask the Lord to watch over to protect us. We ask Mary, Our Lady of Mount Carmel, to watch over and protect us and to guide us in all things.
Amen. Bishop, would you give us your blessing to end our podcast
Most
today?
Most certainly. Maybe I'll use the prayer of Our Lady of Mount Carmel and close with the blessing. May the venerable intercession of the glorious Virgin Mary come to our aid, we pray, O Lord, so that, fortified by her protection, we may reach the mountain which is Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you to all those who are listening to another edition of Big City Catholics, a podcast with Bishop Brennan, the Diocesan Bishop of Brooklyn, and myself, Father Chris Henu. We look forward to next week when we gather again. God bless.